Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, one of the co-founders of LSAT Demon. With me today is Eric Johansson. He's a teacher and tutor with us at LSAT Demon. We have an email here from Anonymous, who apparently improved from 165 to 175 official after receiving accommodations.
Yeah, so Anonymous writes, "My question is, should I keep studying for the LSAT, even if I don't take it officially again, as a prep tool to prepare for law school? Without accommodations, I'm scoring in the mid-160s, which I'm very proud of, given I've been studying for a year. But should I keep practicing the LSAT anyways, just to prepare myself for the rigor of law school? I don't want to get accepted into a school where I would have been denied with a 165 and not be prepared for the rigor of the course materials. Warmly, Anonymous." So Anonymous has a 175. That's what they're going to apply to law school with. But they're worried that it doesn't really count, or that the 175, that they'll be going to law school as a 165 actually instead of a 175. And they wonder, should I keep trying to get better at the LSAT? Will that improve my chances of doing well in law school?
I appreciate the question, and I think it's a very real concern. Accommodations is wildly overpowered at the highest levels. You know, you take somebody who is scoring 165 without accommodations, that means that they are capable of answering most of the questions. Like, they can slow down and figure it out and get the questions right. Then all of a sudden you give them time and a half, which for some reason time and a half is the default accommodation, but if you ask for double time, you could get double time. Anyway, next thing you know, this same student with the same abilities, but now 50% more time, is scoring solidly into the 170s. Here, 175 for Anonymous. I mean, great. I unless you are applying to Yale or something, I don't think you need to take the test officially again. But do you want to study just to keep learning? Well, if you study the LSAT, you'll be getting better at English. You'll be getting better at attacking arguments. You'll be getting better at spotting arguments and undermining them, essentially. Just figuring out where is your support for this thing that you're trying to convince me of. Does the support actually convince me? Usually not. Usually there's a big gap, or a gap between the support and the conclusion that they're trying to draw. And the better you get at that, the better prepared you're going to be for law school. I do think that there's a bit of a risk when people get some, you know, I mean, look, Anonymous went from the 85th percentile to the 99th percentile by getting accommodations, essentially. And so, yeah, I think you might find that when you get to law school, you're going to be up against some heavy hitters.
I think there's one thing that's worth pointing out, which is that accommodations are available at law school. They'll probably be different. It will depend on the school. You might need to do your research and look into what accommodations are available at the law schools that you're applying. But it could be, if your concern is the level of competition, Anonymous, it could be that these same accommodations would also be available to you at law school. That also might not be true. It just kind of depends. Maybe law schools are less accommodating than the LSAT. Well, who knows?
I think it's also the case that if they do give you time and a half, or whatever accommodation you got on the LSAT, I don't think time and a half on law school exams is going to be so wildly overpowered as time and a half is on the LSAT.
I've never taken a law school exam, so I don't know for sure. But from what I've heard, you're probably right.
In my experience, it wasn't a matter of me running out of time. It was a matter of me not knowing what the hell. Like, you have to actually know things.
Right.
And so I hadn't, you know, gone to class, or I hadn't paid enough attention. I hadn't done the readings thoroughly enough. I hadn't made thorough enough notes. I hadn't gone, you know, I hadn't done practice exams, and I hadn't had my practice exams read by my peers. And there was a ton of work that I didn't do.
You hadn't cribbed FedSox outlines.
I hadn't done any of that shit. Yeah, no, I was not privy to those. But yeah, so I think you're right that you can get accommodations. I think that it's not going to be as straightforward as it is to get accommodations for the LSAT. And then I think probably they're not going to help as much as they do on the LSAT.
Yeah. We had a listener email in recently asking about potentially taking some community college courses as in legal areas as prep for law school.
Hmm.
Probably continuing to study the LSAT would be better preparation than that would. I don't know that for sure, but
yeah,
I agree that if you continue to get better at the LSAT, it means that you're improving the skills that will make you better at law school.
Yeah.
Whether it's worth it.
Yeah.
And I think and that's pretty up much to you.
I mean, I had the experience in law school where I was like, oh, this is a piece of cake because I understand logic. It was just like it felt like I was doing the LSAT sometimes in law school.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly certain stuff in civil procedure where, you know, the thinking about the burden of proof shifting back and forth. And it just had a lot of like strong conditional reasoning elements to it where understanding the difference between sufficient and necessary really mattered a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how many former Demon students, Demon teachers who go on to law school. One of the things that they say most commonly, if I ever encounter them after they've already started law school, is like, I can't believe how many people are fucking up sufficient and necessary. Or like, I read this opinion just the other day that fucked up sufficient and necessary. Or yeah, the LSAT definitely made me better equipped for this kind of reading and this kind of logic that's going to happen in law school. So yeah, I like it. I think that that's great. And by the way, Anonymous, if you are applying to Harvard, Stanford, Yale, Chicago, you know, the top of the top, if you're able to squeak out a 176 or 177 or 178, if you keep prepping, that might actually help you at the elite levels.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.